So we're recording. Welcome. I'm Mark Wagner. I'm the chair of the committee here. I work at Red Hat. One thing we're asked to do at the start of all these meetings is this antitrust policy notice. I'm sharing my screen. Hopefully you can see it. And the ask is that if you feel you can't abide by that, that you drop from the call. That is from the Linux Foundation, not from me. But I'm going to stop.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. So what we like to do at the start of these meetings is just do a quick, introduction. I just introduce myself, just so people know who's on the call and their background a little bit. So Harish, why don't you go? I'll just go alphabetically here as I see him.
Hey, hi. Yeah. So I'm Harish Sukhwani. I've been participating in these calls for a year now. I just recently finished my PhD in computer engineering at Duke University in North Carolina, where I was looking at Hyperledger Fabric from a performance and scalability perspective. So right now I've moved to Portland, Oregon, and I'm just planning to enter the industry very soon. So I'm looking forward to continuing this collaboration with PSWG.
Cool. And good luck in the hunt and all.
Thank you.
Jim.
Hi, Jim Mason from DMX. We're an automotive software company, sort of reinventing automotive software for, I'll call it, marketplaces, integrating with OEMs and stuff. And we're implementing Fabric blockchains, starting this year on, probably version 2.0 or 2.something will be our production target this summer. But we're basically doing vehicle identification similar to Mobi. But they're going to take longer to get where we need to go. So we'll roll out our own version of that, and if we need to, integrate with theirs. And then we're also going to, we already have vehicle inspections as an application. So again, we're adding blockchain into that. And, we have sort of an additive model for blockchain. It's not writing new applications. It's hitting them onto our existing apps for what it's worth. That's it.
Oh, hey, the mute button helps. Thank you. Raphael.
Hi, I'm Raphael from Brazil. I'm a postdoc researcher. I come from the networking field. I'm part of the telecom SIG now. And I have played with blockchain like long ago, mostly with Ethereum. Networking background, so I'm publishing papers on how can establish service level agreements between telecom providers, and I'm very interested in the benchmarking aspects, the performance and the scale aspect of now Hyperledger.
Very nice, thank you, Stephen.
Hi, Stephen Graves with Certified True. We provide trusted blockchain services to the legal, insurance, and real estate industries. We do that through our own custom blockchain, CertNet, which is built on Sawtooth. And we're focused on being able to build that up for a consortium of industry players. So our focus has been, figuring out what performance we can gain out of that. For the fastest, best, et cetera, for our specific application.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, okay. I thought Fippin was calling somebody there. Sorry.
Yeah. My own personal background before this, I happen to be the CEO and leader of the herd of cats over here, and also. Before this, I was at CA Technologies, a global enterprise software firm. So that's my history.
Thank you. Todd, welcome. You there, Todd?
Yeah, my headset was muted. Sorry. Hi, what are you doing? Intros, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm late. Yeah, hi, this is Todd Little. I'm an architect on the Oracle Blockchain Cloud Service. and have worked in high performance transaction processing systems for many years. So
way too long.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just say we're seasoned pros, right? All right, sorry. Vipin.
Hi, I'm Vipin Bharathan. Been involved in Hyperledger for a while. I own a small independent consulting firm, blockchain consulting for enterprises. And I'm also the chair of the identity working group, and I've been involved in all these calls with architecture, security and privacy, smart contracts, now the performance and scale. I've been involved for at least a couple of years, ever since it started, but more recently. Thanks.
Thank you. And Guy, quick introduction for some of the new people.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Guy Hostetler here. I'm from R3. I've been participating in the performance and working group for, over a year, I guess. It seems like time is flying by. Happy to be helping out with this effort.
Well, thank you. So next on the agenda, I had submitted the quarterly a week late, but to the TSC, they like updates from each of the projects in working groups. So I'm sharing the screen on that now. There were a bunch of comments down the bottom because I talk in here about trying to work with Stack, and we'll get to that in the agenda in a minute. But I don't know if people have had a chance to read this. I wasn't going to go through the whole thing right now. I did say that I probably, because of Stack, I sort of held back on following up on some of the supply chain stuff, which was probably a mistake. We should probably move forward with that. And then if we have cycles to do the financial, we will. But down the bottom for comments, Mick had asked about, do we want to work with some groups basically to try to get the work we're doing as a standard out there in the industry. And Chris Ferris also followed up is, will we need to be the formal standard benchmark maintained by some org like NIST or Stack or maybe SPEC? So I don't know if people have thoughts on, where we want to go with that. I know Harish had brought in some stuff from ITU that we haven't really gone deep on yet. But in general, I guess it's sort of future direction of the group in a sense. I think if we get involved with one of those groups, if we're not just throwing stuff over the wall, then there'll be, more time commitment needed. Thoughts?
Just on Chris Ferris's point, if we wind up evolving some sort of a standard, I'll call it use case for blockchain performance benchmarking, that would be, I think, a great thing. Much like in the ancient days, we used to use TPC for comparing different hardware platforms, as a software benchmark. It was just one use case fundamentally, but it made it easy to do more apples to apples comparisons. And especially as these blockchain frameworks grow and evolve rapidly all over the place with different optimizations, having a standard, I'll call it use case, that you can drop on all these platforms and test them out is a plus. I mean, it's never going to be a perfect apples to apples, but it's certainly a benefit if you have a standard use case. Because certainly today, especially with the press, you read, somebody will say, "Oh, I got a million TPS, on my blockchain," and it's like, okay, but yeah, your use case has nothing to do with a commercial, or typical commercial application that other people are running, kind of thing. So having standardized, benchmarks and use cases is I think a big win long term.
Yeah, and we've used TPC and SPEC in some of our discussions before, you know, how they do things and if it makes sense to do similar things here. And also, you know, one thing I remember from when I first proposed this working group was, you know, we very much wanted to look down the road at working with some of those organizations. Red Hat's very involved with SPEC, and I know, you know, they're keeping an eye on it to let me know when they start to discuss blockchain. But I'll poke that bear again as well. Maybe we can push stuff a little bit if people want to go that direction. I think part of it is a lot of these are, you know, like Stack is a for-profit organization. I'm not sure about SPEC, but, you know, there's very specific rules you have to follow. But I think in general, we've been trying to follow the, you know, let's design a use case for a supply chain so we can come up with a benchmark on how, you know, distributed ledger A versus distributed ledger B will perform for a, you know, a typical supply chain application. You know, that at least is the mental goal I'm driving towards. I don't know how other people feel.
That's a great use case, though. I really like that one because I'll call it some variant of that applies to 9 out of 10 industries for sure. So that's a good choice for a primary use case.
I thought we were going to focus on a specific aspect, which would be provenance.
Yeah, we have talked about that. No, I know very little about this area as far as the use case and all, and that's sort of where, you know, I need to follow up with the people that responded to come in with some expertise in there to help guide us through some of this, unless other people on the call feel they have that and can do it. But I think
I have some experience. I was on Marco Polo, which is a trade finance app. I was on Voltron. I was on some other supply chain use cases. And I did write up a supply chain write-up for the privacy and security working group. Provenance, you know, I do need to re-look at exactly the kind of things that that make provenance a very specific part. How do you separate it from the rest of the supply chain use case? Meaning, maybe the trade finance part is separate from the provenance part, but they do interact with each other in the sense that the trade finance probably uses provenance as a backup in order to get make sure that whatever they are financing are worthy can be, you know, the value it remains constant, or at least the value is not diminishing because of poor storage, poor sourcing, and so on, and poor transport. So there is, you know, some work that we could do with the trade finance work, SIG, special interest group, in this regard. But we did talk about this because we felt that we have to focus on one or two use cases because we don't have the bandwidth necessary to, you know, basically talk about the financial markets use case. But I did, as a result of this and other conversations, propose a financial markets special interest group in Hyperledger. There has been some people who have registered interest in it, but if any of you are interested, reach out to me, or, you know, this will also bolster our interaction with Stack.
Right, and if you want to send a pointer to that out, that might help. The Confluence thing, it can be tricky sometimes. Now, what's the difference between what you're proposing and the other trade finance SIG that's already there?
Well, financial markets is a much broader activity because it deals with all kinds of markets, capital markets, money market or short-term markets, and also all the ancillary markets that are needed to keep it going. When I say capital markets, what I mean is issuance of any kind of instrument that allows the raising of capital, which means bonds, equities, and so on, and the primary trading of those, and this, of course, issuance, primary trading, secondary trading, and also along with primary trading, secondary trading, and all this would be hedging, which means that you would go into some kind of derivatives, those kind of things. Trade finance is very specific to trade, and it's usually financing of trade is not freely exchangeable or tradable in the markets because it's a very specific activity, and it's usually, there is limited trade in that. For example, the factoring business, you can trade that, but it's not in the open market. It's not in exchanges. It's usually between already established big corporate finance entities that do that kind of trade. So the amount of transparency, regulatory transparency, and other kinds of transparency required, and the reporting and all that, and the whole notion of risk is very different in the financial markets area. Of course, it's a huge area, so we'll probably start by sketching out basic taxonomy, and then also try to interact with a body like Stack, because they were asking about the fact whether Hyperledger even had such a wing looking at the financial markets. We have SIGs for healthcare, for trade finance, and some other activities. If I go look back at our Hyperledger and look at the groups, I see that there's a healthcare, there's a public sector, there's a social impact, and a telecom SIG, and trade finance probably.
Well, hey, Vipin and also Mark, I mean, my question is that, that sounds like a good interest for an industry SIG particularly. And I don't know the difference in what Vipin's proposing for the finance SIG versus what is currently existing. But my understanding is where we were driving at is just come up with a specific use case so that we are able to better measure, I'll say, more general parameters of, okay, what specific first of all, is it fully permissioned? Is it semi-permissioned? Is it public? Presumably most of these use cases we're talking are probably fully permissioned, but some of them, I mean, we're interested in the ones that are, quasi or hybrid of that. What's the block size? What's the, consensus? How many nodes? And then, looking at what actually is some sort of measure of throughput. That's going to be a bit more generalistic, but realistically, too, we find in being able to build out our system, it's hard to speak in generalities. It's a lot easier when you actually try and build something and then, okay, let's test that, and then let's see how it works, poke it and see how the wheels begin to turn. Having some particular, settle on some use case, build that, test that, and see what we get with it. And then, then we have benchmarks to play against and say, okay, well, what if this were to change? What if that were to change? What if that were to change? Versus, true industry, because we're focused in three particular industry buckets, and those industries themselves are vast with many, 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 many different sub-use cases. And so, you know, I think it's easy. My original thought was that we were coming to supply chain because, okay, well, some of the use cases there are fairly well understood. We can build something there and then, or at least not build it, but at least have some stable configuration of with this, then we can test that and then see, well, this is the standard throughput of these different types of systems. Because whether something is a bond, whether it is a provenance application, ultimately it's about the packets of data and the comms, you know, what type of, how much comms, how much latency, what's the finality going back and forth, you know, theoretically.
To your question, Stephen, sorry to interrupt, but we have already done that in a general way in the metrics paper. Today, we are looking at what use cases to study. So we've said we chose provenance because we don't have the bandwidth. But in our interactions with Stack, they talked about the finance use case, and that's the only reason I mentioned the financing. So it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the direction that we should be taking. I mean, absolutely nothing is too much said. Absolutely nothing is too much said. But, you know, basically it is about building these bridges to other groups so that we are not boiling the ocean, right?
Okay, that makes sense. So we're picky. So effectively you're saying let's pick a use case that has the strongest or has some other strong industry bit to where we can piggyback off of their work and hopefully actually have them maybe running some of these instances to get us benchmarks back based on whatever configs or whatever we propose so that we can then get data to crunch.
Well, we don't actually do a lot of the benchmarking and data crunching in this group at this point. Right now, we're more focused on trying to define what it is. You know, this Project Caliper, which is a benchmark suite. So in theory, you could go write a very specific benchmark for Caliper with what we define. One of the things we're trying to focus on is we did the initial metrics paper, which was very low level.
Right.
And Digital Assets did a paper in conjunction with a couple other groups where they defined a level above that. You know, they defined a trade which consisted of multiple transactions, but it was very specific to what they were trying to do. So, one of the things I think we need to do is look at these, you know, for a supply chain provenance, what's the minimum, you know, lowest common denominator, minimum unit of something, you know, I don't know enough about it to say it's this, you know, but what constitutes an actual business transaction, you know, or whatever for provenance. You know, how many actual Bitcoin or DLT transactions does that involve? Whatever. But then if we can say, okay, you know, and I don't even know enough about supply chain to say what the right unit is there. That's why I was looking for help.
So the one thing I'll throw out is obviously I'll call it the rest of the world focused around what I call cryptocurrencies, and Bitcoin only thinks of one transaction type, which is basically, I'll call it the atomic swap, you know, where you have currency A exchanged for currency B, and you're trying to, in a sense, prove that you've solved the double spend problem on both ends. And so that particular use case fits cryptocurrencies and I'll call it payments well. It doesn't fit supply chain so well. So supply chain is really focused on, in a sense, supplying you the goods or services, you know, from, I'll call it a buyer to a seller. And so you think of really the two basic constructs in the supply chain are either going to be, you either have an order and you fill the order, or you actually just directly make a purchase, one of those two things. So those are more concrete examples. And if you took either one of those and you said, okay, I want to examine that use case and look at its features for, you know, trust, provenance, and whatever, you're you have a fundamental use case that is not the simple, I'll call it Bitcoin atomic swap, and it is one that applies across many industries. You can use the same thing. And even though we call it supply chain and only logistics, in reality, healthcare has it, automotive has it, finance has it, you buy insurance policies, and so on. It applies across industry. So I would recommend, my recommendation, I guess, is either look at, I'll call it the order fulfillment model, which is maybe a little more complex, or just a simple, buy and sale of a good or a service kind of a thing, one or the other, something along those lines. And what's nice about those use cases, different than the atomic swap, is the atomic swap has only to verify the double spend thing and the identity of the participants, I guess, in the contract. It doesn't have anything else, whereas these supply chain things tend to have other business rules in them, for what it's worth, that make the contract a little, you can expand the contract, I should say, into something that is more complex, at a later point, which is nice.
I'm just going to play back what I was hearing Vipin talk about, and I think it ties to what Chris Ferris's comment was. So if we're going to focus on provenance and having to do with supply chain, because those two things are, supply chain is a great proof point for provenance. They're neither Stack nor, I just took a look at NIST in terms of existing standards, benchmarking bodies, really focus on that kind of use case. So I don't know that we should worry about that so much. If we're going to do provenance, we can later try to find some standards body to help kind of own that and work with them to say, hey, we're doing this. Can you work with us to kind of align it and maybe adopt it? I don't know what our goal with that is, but we may have to look for something for provenance, because I don't think just by looking at Stack is securities. That's not trade finance. It's a different thing. I mean, supply chain and trade finance, although they're related, they're different things. So Stack probably wouldn't be so interested in supply chain. I'm just guessing.
Right. I mean, we did have a call with Stack about
a month ago. Yeah.
So they're very interested. And I know from the work I've done with them at Red Hat in the past, it's like low latency trading kind of stuff. But they're interested in blockchain. They're starting to explore that space. So they had reached out, or somehow Brian and Stack had gotten hooked up, and he sort of asked me to go look at it for the performance and scale, since it's a performance benchmarking organization. So we're just sort of scoping to see if there's stuff we can do there. Now, I think as far as resources go, one thing we should consider is a lot of people have volunteered to help with some of this. So I'm going to go off and start responding to people this week. I've sort of been working half-time since the beginning of the year, or at best. So I'm back full-time now. And I'll reach out to the people that have responded to my request for some supply chain help. And, try to get some discussions going, even on the email list. Other thoughts from people?
Sorry, Mark, just one question. Is there a roadmap that you're planning to follow for the defining, since the definition of the use case until, let's say, a Caliper prototype?
We don't have a roadmap yet, and we have a fairly loose relationship with the Caliper team. There's usually someone from the Caliper team on this call. Did you have specific things you are interested in?
I'm interested in in the roadmap. I mean, from the telecom perspective, but so far I'm just learning what you're doing and planning to do.
Okay, now there's also a telecom SIG, I think Vipin just mentioned, right? Was it Vipin
who mentioned that? Yes, I'm a member now.
Okay, Is there anything you're not a member of at Hyperledger?
Yes.
Payroll?
Payroll, yes. Telecom SIG, that's a completely different kind of use case. But to come back to this whole discussion about the roadmap, we had sort of a rough thing sketched out, right, Mark? Correct me if I'm wrong. One is this whole idea that we'll examine a use case that can be applied across multiple sectors, and for that we picked provenance. And Mark Simpson was supposed to write up something about provenance, at least a straw man document. That is one aspect, so that we can examine the use case and come up with transactions or some units that can be measured in a provenance. Then the other, there are two other streams here. One is the, we looked at TPC and said, how can we divide up a whole blockchain into something more generic? This is similar to what Stephen Graves was talking about, where we would say, I proposed like four or five different kinds of measurements that can be done. That includes network diffusion measurement, which Rafael should be interested in. So that was posted to the group a while ago. Then the third thing that we were talking about was this whole interaction with Stack and the whole business with the financial markets SIG. As far as I'm concerned, those are the three things that we thought we would work on. And the top of the list is the provenance and others, probably in parallel, probably in association with others, other groups in Hyperledger.
Thanks.
Sounds
for
familiar. Did I talk over somebody? So one thought I had was, if we can pull in expertise from some of these other SIGs, that would increase our bandwidth to do things. And you know, we should start small, but we might be able to actually do some multitasking. I don't know how other people feel about that.
Well, I would think some of that would be at least a natural production or a natural, let's put it this way. It would seem to be a good idea where it was a natural fit, just because I would hope at least some of these other SIGs would be looking to our product, as it were, to help them or help guide some of the things that they're working on, and I suppose it probably is similar. I mean, you know, for Caliper doing some benchmark, etc. What I mean, we have some interconnections as to what best practices, etc. So I just don't know which ones would be the make the most sense to do so first. You guys have a better sense of the community.
Other people have thoughts they want to share?
Have we approached TPCC or TPC at all? They seem like they would be a better fit for what we're looking to do than Stack.
I can do that. I Red Hat's a member of that too. I haven't seen as much in the TPCC space or TPC space recently. I think that's sort of on the way out, but I'll check into it.
Yeah, they just seem to be more focused on, you know, generic transaction processing, right? Without such a focus on financial, whereas, you know, Stack is very narrowly focused, I would think. But maybe not. Maybe they want to branch out.
I don't think they want to branch out. They just want. I think the key is that performance and scale is applicable across multiple verticals. The TPC, of course, is much more generic, and that is what I used as a guide in my taxonomy towards a benchmark, which means like I'm saying, okay, now that we have this beast we call DLT, what would be the different areas that we would look at inside DLT? And this is coming back to what was expressed by several people. There's a generic, you know, sort of division in terms of the layers. And I had produced something that I was put on the mailing list, so I can you know, post that in our rocket chat again. But I agree with you, Todd, that TPC would be a natural fit, but Stack was the ones who approached us. So, you know, that was why we were even talking about Stack.
Okay.
Should we talk about specifics, or should we continue this supply chain or provenance thing, or what should we do, Mark?
As for the rest of this call or in general?
For the rest of this call, I mean, you know, let's not talk about what's going to happen the rest of the year, but
yeah.
You know, now.
Well, one thing I wanted to make sure we covered today, because Hyperledger sponsors intern opportunities, internships, and they need mentors to propose projects and all. And the call for projects ends Friday, the 22nd. So I didn't know, I just wanted to make sure we've covered it. You know, do we as a group want to have an intern to do something? And what would it be? And, you know, they like a couple people to be the mentors, so it's not too time consuming. Does anyone feel strongly one way or another?
As a member of the TSE, you probably have insight into the current state of how many people have proposed projects.
I have not seen anything. I haven't gone to look. I missed the last TSE call. You may have been on it, but I don't know where things are at. I've seen nothing privately. Would there be some, you know, something we want people to do? Oops, sorry, go ahead.
I think the first question really would be defining what the product would be. What would we have somebody doing?
Right, and that again would be, you know, is there something we could use someone for? You know, would we want them to work on Emerald, which is a lab that I sponsored, some code that came from Mark Simpson. But I don't know if Attila is working on that. Not Attila and Imre. So I just wasn't sure. I mean, if nothing's jumping out at anyone, then it's probably, you know, if there's no little projects we want it done. And this would be basically over the summer here in the U.S.
Well, does it depend upon what our work product is here? If we're going to do something like what TPC does, they provide the basic code. I mean, you can alter it, but the basic functions have to stay the same. So if we define some benchmark for provenance, we'll say, would it make sense to have a reference implementation?
It would. Would it be based on Caliper, or would we do?
Well, that's a good question. Caliper probably makes most sense because Caliper says they're going to solve the problems of dealing with multiple platforms.
Right.
Writing an app that's going to run across the various Hyperledger platforms with common code is impossible at the moment, right? There's way too much variance in the platforms.
Right. But if we could have someone write a specific caliper test suite
script, yep.
For supply chain, will we be ready by May to have someone do that?
I think it's possible if people put in some time.
If we work full time instead of half time?
No. That's not what I meant. It doesn't need that much time to tease out a provenance use case, let me tell you.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that now that we're up at this level, we can tease things out quicker.
So let me contact Mark Simpson and see where he is with the provenance use case. And I can try to sketch out a fast thing on that, and then we take it from there. But unfortunately, I cannot be involved as a mentor because I probably would put too much time into it and would kind of...
Do it yourself?
No, not do it myself. No, that's not what I meant. Like you mentioned earlier, I'm already too thinly spread.
Yeah.
But so, I definitely will help if anybody wants to be a primary mentor. You know, you can bounce things off of me. I can definitely get back. Because as you know, I have opinions on almost everything.
Indeed. Yeah.
All right. Well, let me, if one or two other people could potentially help mentor as we go. It's just so if I'm away for vacation for a week or something, this person isn't held up. Because actually, I haven't even touched this year's vacation days yet. So, anyways, let me look and see. Go ahead.
I was going to say, would we want to talk to some people or try to pull in some people who've already built provenance-based blockchain applications? I'm thinking like Everledger or somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, I had sent mail to, all a Hyperledger and got a lot of response. There's actually a SIG getting spun up at some point on supply chain. There's Project Grid, which is the supply chain with Sawtooth. And a couple of people from that had responded. So I just don't know enough about supply chain for the specific terms to know what to ask.
I will, Mark, at some point, I'll ask our chief architect, Clive. You've probably seen him on here.
Yep.
Clive Bolton. And so he has, even prior to our application, he worked on a number of supply chain applications, and he used to also do the requirements working group for Fabric and work with Fabric too. So, in any case, he's on some of the grid stuff. And I'll ask him also to be, if we did have somebody or a resource or whatever to help out with that effort of mentoring. Because certainly he could do so better than I.
Sure.
Just to help that effort if we had somebody.
Okay. All right, so I'll take that as a definite maybe, and we'll look into it in the next day or so. Excuse me. So we got about 5 minutes left. Do we want to dive into anything else at this point? Or do we?
I'm interested in knowing about this, your views on that particular thing that we started talking about, the Waterloo paper on fast fabric. And I was most interested in Todd's view on it because they've already you know, Oracle has already done some things. My question would be, in what respects is this similar to what they've done, and what respects is it different? And also, if it's different, why wouldn't somebody like Oracle do it? Is it because it subverts the security or the blockchain, you know, blockchainy aspect of Fabric?
I don't know that that paper suggests anything that wouldn't. By the way, I'm not sure I can officially speak for Oracle, but I think the proposals and the experimentation they did is in line with what's been discussed before. I mean, the whole notion that you send the entire set of transactions to the ordering service made sense in the initial implementation of Fabric, where there wasn't any other option. But once they introduced the gossip protocols, it was feasible now to just say, okay, just have the ordering service order the transactions based upon an ID and some signature or something. Not this mechanism where they do right now, where the entire transaction, every transaction in its entirety ships to the ordering service. And so, yes. The changes we've made have been at a much smaller, finer grained, I guess. We replaced LevelDB with BerkeleyDB because it has things like local transactions, isolation, and snapshot capabilities, whereas LevelDB has none of those. So.
Well, the number three seems to suggest, I mean, they have four things that they've done. One is that separation of metadata in the consensus layer. Second is parallelism and caching. And third is exploiting the memory hierarchy for fast data access on a critical path, which is not quite what you guys did with the BerkeleyDB, but it's similar. And then there is resource separation, which is basically breaking apart the peer into committer and endorser and having them on separate processes. I mean, basically processes and possibly even splitting them up separately. So there are quite a few interesting things that they have done. And my question was, does it subvert, you know, the integrity of the blockchain in any of these things? Because that was suggested by some, I guess, guys from Sawtooth when I shared that paper with them. I'm interested in it for a different reason, which is I'm trying to propose something like a microservices architecture for blockchain, for all blockchains. And does this paper suggest that would be a direction that we could follow?
So why don't I queue up time for this next week? And there was actually, they came and talked to the Fabric people and did a presentation. There's a video of it I haven't watched yet. I'll send a link to that out as well. And should we see about inviting some of those people to the call or someone from the Fabric team for next week?
As in Fabric team, meaning Fabric maintainers?
I don't know. I can reach out to Chris or Arnaud or someone. And
I would rather invite the
authors,
Waterloo guys.
Okay.
I mean, having Fabric guys will not be bad, but
right.
Over the Fabric guys, if I get a choice between the two, then I would invite Waterloo guys. If I get a free choice, then I would say have the Waterloo guys and the Fabric guys.
Okay. I'll make that, do what I can to make that happen. And I'll queue that up for next week.
And in the meantime, I'll try to come up with a formulation for a microservices thing. And okay. I'll send it to you and see what you think, and also to Todd or to anybody else who's interested.
Yeah, that is, by the way, that is one of the proposals in Fabric. There's some jeers around this to change the smart contract mechanism into more of a microservices model. So you can scale up the smart contracts as necessary, distribute them, those sorts of things, which is not really feasible right now in Fabric.
Well, what I'm talking about is more on a fundamental level, you know, obviously. It's not just the smart contracts.
Okay.
Also, the, you know, like, for example, the guys have said that they're separating the peer roles of committer and endorser. I mean, how much more can you split it, you know?
Right.
I know Clive actually has been working on some of that, looking at some of the architecture and how that might fit in Sawtooth for microservices as well. So that, I'll see if I can push him over that, or, you know, let him know about that at least. It's something we've been exploring, so.
All right.
Thanks.
Sounds good. Well, thank you folks for the call, and I will be more active. So talk to you all next week, and I'll hit the email with some stuff. All right. Thanks.
Hi, thanks, Mark.
Ciao. Thanks, Mark.